I want to turn to NBC's Chuck Todd, host, of course, of Meet the Press, famously at the center of that tangle with Kellyanne Conway, counselor to President Trump, over alternative facts. They tangled over the size of the crowd at the inauguration, and not just about the crowd size, but about what facts are. Here it was.
You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. But the point remains.
Wait a minute. Alternative facts? Alternative facts, four of the five facts he uttered. The
hey,
one
Chuck,
thing he
why?
Got
hey,
right
Chuck.
Was Zeke Miller. Four of the five facts he uttered were just not true. Look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
That was Chuck Todd with Kellyanne Conway. Chuck Todd, moderator for NBC's Meet the Press, political director for NBC News, political analyst for NBC Nightly News, in the very thick of it, and joining us today from New York. Chuck Todd, welcome back to On Point. It's been a while. Thanks for being here.
It has been a while, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Alternative facts. You first called that out in terms of factual communication coming out of the White House in the, what is it now, 11 days, 12 days? I lose track. How? What's the trend line, Chuck? Is the fact quotient rising, falling? Where is it?
Look, I think it's falling. I mean, let's be honest here. I think right now they view I worry that already the White House has a bunker mentality to it. And in my experience, when you see bunker mentality, professionally, I've seen it three times as far as in what I've covered. And I'd go back to the first days of the Clinton administration. During the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal, you saw a bunker mentality where that you just couldn't even sometimes agree upon a set of facts. During the worst days of the Iraq war, before the surge, ditto with the Bush White House. And I would say during the health care fight, particularly the last 2 months before they passed it, there were times that the Obama White House was in such a bunker mentality mode that you couldn't agree upon the basic premise of what's a fact and what isn't. So this happens when a White House gets into a bunker mentality. I think what's concerning to me is that I feel like they went into the White House with a bunker mentality. They began their presidency that way. And it's tough to dig out. You know, once you start in a bunker, it's tough to get out of it.
Chuck, Donald Trump came into the White House with a campaign behind him in which he promised significant change. And he's done a lot already in just this 10-plus days. Do you see him acting in a way in the White House that's going to bring about the changes that the voters who rallied behind him wanted?
I think it's possible, but it depends on how he goes about this, Tom. You know, I've been thinking about this, and in the way Donald Trump negotiates, and he made this clear in The Art of the Deal, okay? He's made this clear, which is he will sometimes go to an outrageous position, what appears to hold an outrageous position,
yep,
to bring everybody along closer to that outrageous position. Oh, my God, you're trying to ban Muslims? No, I'm not trying to ban Muslims, but we really need to fix our vetting process. Now, he doesn't ever want to show that he's compromising. But if you suddenly, there is a method to this governing madness if he ends up getting, you know, a whole bunch of people in Congress saying, you know what, we do need better vetting process, and let's write a vetting. So it depends on how he goes about this, right? Does he use his sort of flair for the dramatic and flair for the outrageous as a way to start negotiating, and then where he ends up is in a very rational place, you know, maybe more conservative than what some on the left want, or maybe more moderate than some of the right want. Is that how he uses this? Or is everything a fight and a battle, and is it his way or the highway? So, look, he ran as a disruptor. I think disruptors at their best go about trying to get their way the way I just described, you know, sort of have a feint, you know, go too far. And that's a feint, not a, you know, it's all an attempt to,
yep,
sort of, you know, recalibrate the negotiation. If that's how he goes about this, he has an opportunity to be successful. If it is digging in your heels, then this is not going to be a success.
There's a lot riding on that as Americans watch. And, of course, along the way, you don't know if it'll be pushed too far, if it's a negotiating strategy that ends up somewhere reasonable. What are you watching for to say, wait a minute, this is out of bounds, off the rails, or this is within American democratic tradition and we're all right?
You know, I guess we're waiting to see, do the guardrails of our democracy work, right? And in this case, the guardrails, let's look at this executive order. It doesn't matter your position on it. There is universal agreement outside the West Wing that it was done in haste, that it was sloppy, and that it, you know, that it sort of, and then certainly the rollout of it, like forget the physical document, the rollout of it was also a mess. And sloppy. Do they acknowledge at least that? Do they show that they are willing to admit that error, even if they're not willing to admit what policy might work or not? That to me would show, okay, that's the sign of growth of of the management team.
Yep.
But right now, I have to say, I fear that there isn't a cohesive management team, that we still have a whole bunch of people that are in turf battles. And that is not healthy when you're in a political crisis, which they're in all already.
We're going to talk about Steve Bannon in this hour. He's right at the heart of the White House team, chief strategist, and we're told he was sort of the co-author of Donald Trump's inaugural address, drafting it anyway. Same with executive orders, one after another, those planned during the transition period and now, you know, coming out one after another, right in the heart of things. Very critical of the press, saying he sees the press as the opposition party. What about the role he plays and the philosophy, the impulse that you see him bringing to the Trump White House, Chuck Todd?
Well, look, he's the chief disruptor, right? You know, Donald Trump's a vehicle. I would say Steve Bannon, the keeper of the Trump ideology. There are people that are close to Trump. There are even family members that are close to President Trump who say, you know what, he's not really an ideologue. He's not this, he's not that. That's not what Steve Bannon would tell people. Steve Bannon, I think, believes he does work for a president who does have an ideology, that there is a bit of a nationalist ideology, that President Trump is buying into that. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, the amount of time I've spent with President Trump, as candidate Trump, both publicly and privately, he certainly has tendencies that say, hey, you know, a little more of a less interventionist streak, a little more of that America First. I think he buys into
a little
that.
More. I mean, it was the main message of his inauguration, right? America First is right there, bold headline.
But I don't know if Donald Trump's a person believes that is his guiding ideology, is what I'm saying. With Steve Bannon, it definitely is. And so I think that, look, I think sometimes White House aides get too much credit when things are going good and too much blame when things are going bad. You know, at the end of the day, it is the president that is entrusting these people and all this stuff. So, but there's definitely, Bannon is the guy that is making the philosophical arguments in that room. He's not making political arguments. And look, his philosophy, and he said it at Breitbart many times in interviews, and I actually think that we all need to sort of get to know him a little bit better so people know this is who's probably the most influential policy voice in the White House. And what it is his philosophy. And I think he very much is wants to slow down, if not halt, globalization. And in all forms, whether that's immigration, whether that's on the economic front, but that is what animates him. And I think that the question is, can his style, which is in your face, you know, don't worry about tradition, blow it up, can Washington adapt to Bannon's style, or can Bannon adapt to Washington's style? I don't know if either can happen, but I'm waiting to watch.
Chuck, talk to us for just a minute. We've got you for a couple more minutes here about what it's like to be right in the hot center of this when it comes to the news media. A lot of angry talk right off the bat from the Trump White House about the press. And, you know, Kellyanne Conway saying heads should roll. Is the press intimidated?
I don't feel intimidated. I'm sorry the words that they're choosing. I think individually they would deny they're trying to intimidate the press. But I think there's no doubt they're trying to, the most aggressive working of the refs that I've experienced in a while. I guess the culmination of a 45-year campaign that you could argue has been happening on the political side of things for quite some time to try to to try to over-dramatize infiltration of political bias in the news media and try to over-dramatize it and make it sort of as the problem with American politics. So, look, honestly, it isn't fun. I'm not here to be, I don't like to be part of the story. And I know that the White House simply is looking for a political punching bag. And I've said this before, I certainly don't want to be a political prop. But at the same time, if anybody thinks I have ever done anything in a biased way or a dishonest way, I would tell them, show me.
Chuck, is the American press.
I don't want to do it.
Yep.
I'm happy to explain. And I think, you know, we just have to deal with it. I don't want us to engage in political warfare with the White House. I think that's not a good response. I think the best response is just do your job. And look, my true north is this, Tom.
Yep.
Is it true and is it legal right now when it comes to covering the administration? Then let the political debate happen. But I think until we can agree upon a set of facts and agree, you know, and then focus on the legality of the actions, then you start to have your political debate.
True and legal. It's a great place to start. Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press. Thank you so much for being with us, Chuck.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.